I make it 22, so yeah, so I think I'm, yeah, otherwise you'll be taken away from the door, won't you? Can't have that. Do you live locally?
Yes.
Yeah. For long? Always been important?
No, not always. I lived here 30 years ago, 30 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, nice. You miss it, Sheffield?
We did for a long time.
Did you? Yeah.
Particularly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We moved up from Hertfordshire in 1990, so similar type. Hi.
Right, you've got me still there.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, and to you. Good morning. Ah, okay, yeah, I do know Roger, yeah. Good morning. Good morning. Morning.
Yeah.
I did come in a coat and jumper, so I'll take them off. Are there any prayers of intercession? Any particular?
Not really. We're not allowed to name people.
Unless they want to be named, yeah.
Well, this is it.
If they're happy.
I don't know who's on, yeah. So just for all who are not well at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
okay.
A lot of the congregation a bit wobbly.
Yeah, I can't remember who the church is that we're in this.
I don't know who the church is.
Just
pray for all the churches.
I might have written it down, you never know.
Well, you know, they all pass it, don't they?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
People with different red hats on.
Yes, exactly, yes, yeah. Amen.
Good morning, and I can say a very warm welcome. We've all got our woolly jumpers and coats, and I've taken one layer off. I might put it back on again. But yes, a warm welcome, and especially to Stephen, who's come from, is it Bollington you live?
Macclesfield, yep. all the way from Macclesfield.
He lives higher up and more snowy up and more frozen up than we are. So I'm so pleased to see you when you arrive. I really was, yes, thank you. We had the order of service, we could have done it, but without the lead person doing it. So it's always good to see somebody on a frosty day. Do stay for coffee afterwards, a lovely warming cup of coffee. And just to update you, everything goes back to normal again now. Things that are happening will start to happen again. But to let you know, thank you to all who came to the FCC, which was the Coffee, Film and Food. There were nearly 40 of us there, and we raised £150, which we're going to donate towards our Christmas charities. So thank you to everybody that came. There was a lot of laughter. And it was a film about very cold people who were homeless in America, so it was totally appropriate as we sat here, cold, and they were even colder in America. So we start today's worship, and we welcome Stephen to lead us at the beginning of a new calendar year. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and a happy new year to you all. I hope you had a wonderful break. I don't mind sunny, cold days. I think they're quite bracing, but enlivening. It is wonderful to be with you, worshiping with you today. And we're going to start with a moment of silence and a prayer. Loving, living Lord, Creator of all, Lord of time, at a moment in time, you are come to us in love in Jesus your Son. In that moment, hope is born. Loving, living Lord, Creator of all, this moment is your moment. Through your Spirit, help us to live this day, this moment, now, not anxious or fearful of what will be, but trusting in the certainty of your love for us, for each one of us, and for all people. Now, in this moment, because you are with us, now, in Jesus, your Son. Amen. And we're going to stay seated for our first hymn, which is Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him no sin. shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, O radiant King of light. Be still, and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him, in faith receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving.
We continue in prayer. Loving God, you are amazing. All that you bring us, all that you are. Love and mercy, your grace, your tenderness, your heart for justice and peace, your power, your love for your creation. We come to worship and adore you. When we stand in the shadows of the high mountain or walk beside the gently running stream, we know you are there. As we walk along the busy street or stand in the crowded shopping mall, we know you are there. When we look into the starlit sky or see the colours in a butterfly's wing, we know you are there. At the end of the day, in the still of the night, we know you are there. And so we put our hand in yours, and we walk towards your light. Loving God, we know you are there. So, Lord Jesus, we give thanks for all that you shower upon us, all the many blessings for our family and friends, for our homes, for our securities, the challenges that you bring that grow and develop us, the things that delight and intrigue us. Loving, living Lord, we give thanks for all that you are and all that you bring. And we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Have you seen the signs? And I don't mean to see the signs that says the roadworks have disappeared between Poynton and Macclesfield. Have you seen the signs? Our theme today is very much around signs. We're going to have a reading about the wise men. We're going to have a reading that reflects the Jewish religious leaders, their demand of Jesus for further signs. And we'll be thinking about signs in the world around us. Jesus was asked constantly for signs. And it's interesting, the things that I see around me, some of which I think are signs and some of which I think are not signs, and some of which are probably signs, but I'm sure I don't see them. So we're going to be thinking about signs. I was in an ecumenical group, and we're doing a course called Talking Jesus, and it encourages you to be comfortable in talking about your faith, in terms of talking to people about the need for Jesus in life. And we were talking about the things which inspire us and the things which really grab us and say, wow, yes, God is here. And we were talking about some of the countryside, and particularly there's a picture of the lakes, a wonderful, beautiful scene. And most of us said, yeah, that's something that really sort of is quite a God-awesome thing, that you know, the creator of God created all of this. And yet there was one lady there who said, it doesn't have that effect on me at all. And she's a very faithful lady. And so we are all different. It's just, there was nothing in that that inspires me. There never has been in terms of nature and the natural world. And it just made me stop and reflect that I think signs are very much individually fashioned by our God for us. And one of the things that we were also talking about in that group, which is also relevant to today's service, is the fact that so many people, if you said, well, about talking about Jesus, they say, well, why would we need Jesus? They don't see the need to be saved. So part of the message today is to remember that we all need saving. We all need saving. Some people have got very orderly, sorted out lives. And they might say, well, why do I need faith? Why do I need Jesus? But even if they don't need it in this life right now, and I'm sure they do, we have got an eternity to think about as well. So we're going to be thinking about signs. But first, before the readings, we're going to have another prayer. And it's about encountering God throughout the day. And there's a response. So when I say, ever-present, ever-loving God, if you would respond, my heart sings of your goodness. So if you can remember, my heart sings of your goodness. So ever-present, ever-loving God, my heart sings of your goodness. So let us pray. Amazing God, you bring beauty and promise into every new day. Ever-present, ever-loving God, my heart sings of your goodness. As the dark sky moves gently aside to reveal the brightness of the morning, we prepare for a new day with you. Ever-present, ever-loving God, my heart sings of your goodness. In the quiet moments before travel and work and duty, In the quiet moments before travel and work and before duty becomes important, ever-present, ever-loving God, our heart sings of your goodness. As the day unfolds to challenges and changes, your presence is before us. When we meet with colleagues and friends, we see you in every face. Ever-present, ever-loving God, our heart sings of your goodness. As we share food and drink, may we remember your love for us in Jesus Christ. In the heart of our family, may we see your unconditional love for the world. Ever-present, ever-loving God, my heart sings of your goodness. And as we reflect in the evening, may we know that you have been with us and will go before us into tomorrow. Ever present, ever loving God, my heart sings of your goodness. Amen. We sing two songs. People who were here last week, I suspect there were many, to the wonderful service that Mandy led, is a bit of a follow-on in as much as we're into sort of Epiphany and the wise men. So we've got two songs about the wise men. Then we'll have the two readings, and then we'll reflect on the message it has for us. So that's where we're going. The first hymn is going to be maybe a bit of a challenge because it's not particularly well known, but it's a lovely tune. So let's stand and, if we can, sing Riding Out Across the Desert, and that will be followed by a hymn which is more familiar, As With Gladness, Men of Old. Traveling over sandy plains, comes a company of wise men, moving steadily along the way, leaving all their friends behind them, guided by the star so bright. Now they've got to keep on going, as long as I can saw it out of sight. Riding through the desert, gently the wafting gold, onwards to him who's promised long ago. But they don't know where they're going to find a means to search, so they'll keep on following the star for into the place of birth. Wise men of old as a journey travel many miles so far, though they're getting tired and weary, town of Bethlehem is not too far. How they long to worship Jesus and honour him with royal gifts, so full of joy and wonder as they're searching for the newborn king. Riding through the desert, gently the wise men go, onwards to the king who was promised long ago. But they don't know where they're going to, finding there's many times to search, so they'll keep on following the star, for we'll lead them to his place of birth. Very good, very good. It's quite difficult to fit the words into the amount of space there is, isn't it? But a lovely tune.
as with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward beaming bright. So most glorious Lord, may we evermore be led to joyful steps they sped to that lowly manger bed, there to bend the knee before Him whom heaven and earth adore. So may we with willing feet ever seek Thy mercy. As they offered gifts most rare at that manger rude and bare, so may we with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to Thee our heavenly Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way, and when earthly things are past, bring our ransomed souls at last, where they need no stars to guide, where no clouds lie hoary.
Sure what happened there, but we lost some words or had an extra verse. I'm not sure. Can we now have the reading so Brian and Roger will read to us?
The first reading is from Matthew 2, reading verses 1 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them till it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 41, and is headed The Sign of Jonah. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here."
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Roger. Who would like a sign? Ooh. Wouldn't it be good if we were absolutely crystal clear on what God wanted us to do all the time, every moment? The wise men saw the star, followed the star, were very certain about where they should go. And in biblical times, there was very much a culture of signs. And yet we don't talk about them quite so much these days. What I did like particularly at the service last week was, Phil, your comments about where you were lost in the snow and the footprints from the shepherd who guided you home, guided you to your destination. And we do have those signs if we could but see them. So, I've told this story before, I suspect, but I'm going to tell it again. There was a decorator who was quite canny and slightly dishonest. And he used to water his paint down so that it would go further. And he got this job to paint the local church because his prices were lower because he diluted his paint. And so he was painting this church up a ladder, and it started to rain, and he carried on, rained some more, and he carried on, and then all of a sudden there was a flash of lightning and he falls off his ladder safely, lands on his feet. And he says, "What have I done? What have I done?" And there was this voice, "Repaint, repaint, and thin no more." Wouldn't it be nice if we had some signs? The Magi saw the sign in the sky and followed it. Wouldn't it be good to have signs on where to go, what to do, right living, wrong living? Jesus was bombarded with requests to show his identity, to prove his identity, to do miraculous signs. And he was often reluctant to give in to those demands. And you can sense Jesus' frustration in that second reading with the religious leaders about their desire to see a sign. "You wicked and adulterous generation," he says. And all four Gospels give examples of Jesus' frustration by people's desire to see more signs. So in John, we hear. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Jesus told him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." Nevertheless, Jesus heals his son. In Luke, we hear of Jesus' parable about the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar, who laid at his gates with sores that the dogs licked. Remember that? He says, Abraham answered. This is the rich man asking to send Lazarus to his family so that they may be warned. And so it says, Abraham answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." So constantly looking for signs. And after the parable of the feeding of the 4,000 in both Matthew and Mark, the Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. The words are, Jesus sighed deeply. "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it." In the Old Testament, there are lots of examples where signs were asked and used as a way of determining God's will. Do you remember Elijah and his fire contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, trying to show to Ahab whose God was real, whose God was the one who had the power? And Elijah even dousing his sacrifice with water and asking God to come and set fire to it. And that's what happens as a sign. Remember the story of Gideon, fleece of Gideon? So Gideon's been told to go and lead the Israelites by God, but he's not sure, he's doubting. Not sure this is the right thing for me to do. So he asks for a test to put out a woolen fleece to be on the ground. And he asks, "Well, if the fleece is wet in the morning and the ground is dry, then I know what you're saying is true." And lo, that's what happens. The fleece is wet and the ground is dry. But even that is not enough. He says, "Well, let's do it again. And let's have the reverse. So let the fleece be dry while the ground is wet in the morning." And he puts out the fleece, and sure enough, the fleece is dry while the ground was wet, the opposite way round. That gave him the confidence to follow God's request. Remember the priests with their Urim and Thummim? Not quite sure what these were. They were sacred objects that the priests kept in their ephod, their breastplate, which is a bit like casting lots. Let's see what God decides by casting these stones or lots, what they were, and see what that foretold us to do. And they were in use right up until only 100 or so years before Jesus lived. And then there's another example in Kings with King Hezekiah. He's with Isaiah, and Hezekiah asks Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I'll go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now?" Hezekiah had been asked to lead the Israelites, but he said he was ill, and he was been told he was going to be healed. He wanted some reassurance that he was going to be healed. And Isaiah answered, "This is the Lord's sign to you. that the Lord will do what he has promised, that he'll heal Hezekiah. And he asks Hezekiah whether he wants to choose the shadow cast by the sun to go forward on the steps, on his steps, presumably of his palace, either 10 steps forward or 10 steps back. And Hezekiah says, well, it's easy for the shadow to go 10 steps forward because that's where the sun will take it. So let's say God's word is true if it goes back 10 steps. So the shadow would move back. Big ask. And that's what happens. The shadow goes back 10 steps. And Hezekiah is assured that he will be healed and will lead the Israelites. So we get a sense that in those days, asking for signs and asking for very specific signs was pretty normal. I do know of people who actually also still use that sort of thinking. They say, well, God, if this is meant to be, do this or do that. And I'm not sure that that's really what we're asked to do. That's not to say I don't think that there aren't signs, because I think there are lots of signs for us today to take notice of. And we should be joyful about that, just as the wise men. What I did like about the reading, it said the wise men were overjoyed that they were able to follow this star to Bethlehem. There are plenty of ways which we can see signs. I think some of those are internal to us and some of those are external. I remember it was a very ordinary, everyday event, but had a real impact on me. We were in London with our grandchildren and right by the River Thames, nice sunny day. And I just happened to look across towards the river and this little girl of about 3 was walking with her father, and she just sort of tugged on his jacket. And they started this little interaction, which was wonderful to watch. He crouched down, looked her in the eye, and for about maybe 2 minutes, they had this conversation. You could see him concentrating and looking at her and listening, and she was explaining, and there was some nods, and his whole attention was focused on her. The rest of the world might not have existed for all they knew. And you could see the interaction, the connection. And I thought at the time, what a wonderful picture that was of God's love, who's prepared to stop and listen, put his attention on us, wherever we are, and to connect with us in that intimate way. And we have other signs. We have the Bible as the living word of God. And that can teach us about God's will in any particular situation. In Hebrews, we hear it described, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. I wonder today whether we, as we think about perhaps changing our habits as New Year goes by, whether we can make the resolution to read the Bible more. Maybe many of us do that already, or maybe we don't. But there is such a great wealth of guidance in that book. In Joshua, when he was asked to lead the Israelites into the promised land, he was told to do God's will, to follow God's command. He wasn't told to look for spiritual experiences or signs, but to just read and take the scripture seriously. And I think that's a message for us today. And we have Jesus as God's ultimate revelation. God's ultimate expression of creation. God's ultimate communication with humanity about his own nature and about right way of living. We have the Holy Spirit prompting us to know and say what is right in any situation, and of convicting us of our sins so that we do repent and repent and sin no more. And Jesus refers to the signs of Jonah in the reading. He talks about the signs of Jonah. This was Jonah. Remember going to Nineveh? Nineveh was it was a pretty awful place, the worst of the worst in terms of child sacrifices, abortions, infanticide, temple prostitution, you name the bad things that happened, and it happened in Nineveh. And what Jesus is saying when he says you only get the sign of Jonah is change your ways. That's what he was saying to the religious leaders, change your ways, just as the people of Nineveh eventually did when they had Jonah come to visit them. I think we sometimes concentrate on God's love and compassion and mercy without also remembering he's also a God of judgment. He's also a God that wants us to live his way. There's a wonderful part in Romans, in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 2. And in the Message version, which I particularly like, it says, did you think that because he's such a nice God, he'd let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. And he was particularly damning, I suppose you'd say. Paul was particularly damning about the religious leaders of the time, basically saying religion on its own won't save you. It's got to be intimate. It's got to be Jesus breathed. He says to the Jewish leaders, if you've brought up Jewish, don't assume that you can lean back in the arms of your religion and take it easy, feeling smug because you're an insider to God's revelation, a connoisseur of the best things of God. We can get carried away by traditions and rituals, all of which are very helpful at the right time. But we all need saving, and saving comes through Jesus. And maybe some of the signs that we're meant to see are signs which are for us to change some of the things that we're doing. Maybe it might be taking on new roles. Maybe it might be making new relationships, helping new neighbours, reaching out to our community in new ways. But I wouldn't ask for a sign to show you what to do. I'd say keep your hearts and minds open to discern God's will, just as we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Examine our own hearts. And particularly ask, yes, what would Jesus do in this situation? So, my message to you is there are lots of signs around you, lots of signs of God's great love, of his great mercy, of his grace. Keep your eyes open and watch and ask, what is this saying to me? What do I need to do differently, perhaps, or do more of, or do less of, so that I'm living in a right way, in the way that God wants. Nice music. So let's be joyful that we have God's signs around us. There's the wise men journeyed to Bethlehem. They followed that star. Let us follow the paths to Jesus. We have many, many options along our travelling, many paths that go off right and left. May we continue on the straight and narrow path as Jesus shows us in the way that we see God's glory and God's love around us through nature, through other people. Remember the little girl and the man. Through the things that we read, both biblical and from Christian authors. Let us make 2026 a time when we see God's love and God's signs for our lives and move ever closer to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your signs through Scripture, through the example of Jesus, through the promptings of your Holy Spirit. You are our constant companion on the way, feeding and nourishing our souls, lighting a path for our feet, and imparting wisdom to guide us safely through the difficult places. Most of all, we thank you for the living Word, Jesus the Christ, the lover of our souls and the hope of all nations. Fill us afresh each day with your Holy Spirit, that we may walk worthy of you and carry your light into our needy and hurting world. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. We sing again, Lord of creation, to you be all praise.
And adore you for all you impart.
We pray for the world in which we live. Let us pray. Almighty God, King of the universe, comforter, disturber, bringer of mercy and grace, all power, all knowledge, we place our world before you. The world seems increasingly complicated and confusing to some of us, and we hear this morning about events in Venezuela. And we ask for you to be in that situation. We hear about continued bombings in Ukraine. We hear about the struggles still of getting aid into Gaza, Palestine. We hear of conflicts in so many other places as well, Sudan and Somali and many others. And we ask you to be in those situations. We know that you are a God of power, of peace and of justice. May your will be done in those places. We have friends and family and neighbours around us who are suffering, either physically, mentally, or emotionally. And we pray that they will know your presence, that they will know healing and wholeness in their lives, and that those around us, around them, both the carers and those that care for them as part of their family, that they will be strengthened by you. And in a moment of quiet, we name the people on our hearts now. And we pray for this year, 2026, that it may be a year of new witness. We are sad when we hear of people who don't want to know Jesus. May we know the steps to take. For us personally to witness our faith through the things that we do, the things that we say. May 2026 be a year where our witness is bold and confident. A time when your love can be revealed to even the hardest of hearts. And we give thanks for the churches. Churches in our circuit and the other churches in other denominations, that together we are the family of a loving God who wants to bring all creation to him and promises to do that, a God of hope. We pray that we may be united in working for peace and justice and sharing of resources, and united in our rejoicing at your love for us, each one of us precious to you. And we pray for the offering that's been given by many people in different ways. We ask you to bless the gifts and the givers. May both be used to show your love. May both be used purely and wisely. And may the community around us hear of the great love that you have for them. And finally, Father, we pray that as we leave this place, we may see the world through your eyes. May we see the signs that show your grace and mercy in such clarity. May we know what right living looks like in your eyes and follow your commands. And we pray all these prayers through the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Our final hymn is At the Name of Jesus. Please stand if you're able to.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty season to receive a name from the lips of sinners unto whom he came. Faithfully he bore it, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious when from death he passed. Triumphant with its human light, through all ranks of creatures to the central height, to the throne of Godhead, to the Father's breast, filled it with the glory of that person. that is not true. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in its light and power. For this same Lord Jesus shall return again with his Father's story, with his angel train. Of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him King of glory now.
Loving God, as we go from this place, may our hearts enfold you. May we know your love, may we show your love to those around us, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen. And let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
I've never gone home.